We're just going to take 10 minutes to look at Mark chapter 5. And I want to share a story with you from here. I'm going to read you the whole chapter. That's going to take up most of my time. And then I'm going to point out one thing. Is that okay? Come on with me here. Mark chapter 5, verse 1. They came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gerasenes. And there, when Jesus had stepped out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. He lived among the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been bound with shackles and chains, but he wrenched the chains apart, and he broke the shackles in pieces. Can you imagine? No one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always crying out and cutting himself with stones. Can you imagine someone so tormented? Have you ever met someone this tormented? Have you ever been tormented? Maybe in some small way. This is hyperbole. It's a true story, but it's about as extensive a demon possession can be. I love the story because there is no mountain Jesus can't climb. There is no ocean he can't cross. And he crossed that Galilean Sea, not a big sea, but in a crazy storm. And he stilled the storm so he could get to the other side to meet this man. As our young people go off to college, I pray they don't meet anybody like this, but they may meet people who are in some way affected, who cut themselves, who live in a culture of death, who find themselves unable to be shackled by anybody's rules. Maybe you've met people like this before. Maybe you found people bound with shackles and chains that they refuse to be bound by, and they break all restraints, even the good ones. These are the kind of people we're scared of. These are the kind of people we ostracize. These are the kind of people we don't want our kids to be around. Jesus is not afraid of these kinds of people. And when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and fell down before him. And crying out with a loud voice, he said, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" Can I just tell you, the devil knows who Jesus is. "I adjure you by God, do not torment me." For he was saying to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." Don't you love Jesus? Very simple, straightforward. Just come out of him, you unclean spirit. Now, the spirit is apparently arguing with Jesus. And he's saying, no, you Son of God, what are you doing? You come to torment me? I adjure you. The demon tries to take authority. Or this, as we're going to find out, more than one demon tries to take authority. But Jesus is not intimidated. And Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" And he replied, "My name is Legion, for we are many." We don't have time to get into all the details here, but I hope that as you read through the Gospels, your heart is stirred and that you are curious and inquisitive and want to know more. There's much in the story. There's much to be understood. There's much also to marvel over. There's some stuff that's kind of scary, but I want you to know that Jesus is bigger than all of that. And he begged him earnestly not to send him out of the country. Now, a great herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. And they begged him, saying, "Send us into the pigs, let us enter them." So he gave them permission. That's kind of weird. Does anybody else think that's weird? Yeah? No? Nobody? You guys are just like, yeah, sure, that happens all the time. Absolutely. Wow. Lively crowd this morning. So he gave them permission. He can do what he wants. Wow. And the unclean spirits came out and entered the pigs, and the herd, numbering about 2,000, rushed down the steep bank into the sea and drowned in the sea. The herdsmen fled and told it in the city and in the country, and people came to see what it was that had happened. And they came to Jesus and saw the demon-possessed man, the one who had had the legion, sitting there clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. My beloved friends, You may not encounter somebody who is this oppressed, but any oppression is too much. I want you to know that the Jesus that we walk with is able to deliver the captives. Mark's telling us this story in his gospel because he's showing us how Jesus fulfills the Isaiah passage that the Spirit of the Lord is upon him and has anointed him to set the captives free. And Jesus is absolutely setting the captives free, isn't he? Matthew tells us this story, and in Matthew's version of the story, there's two demoniacs. Luke tells us the story as well. His is very similar to Mark's story, but it's possible that Jesus delivered two men here. In fact, not just possible, it's absolutely probable because Matthew says so. Jesus doesn't just heal one person. He heals anybody who comes to him. He delivers those who come to him. And he's still doing that today. I can't do that. I don't have power in myself to do that. But Jesus has. And if we walk with Jesus, then the authority of Jesus is at our disposal. You'll see in the following chapter, in chapter 6, the very next chapter, Jesus gives authority to his disciples. He's already given it to them a few chapters before to cast out demons. I want you to know that if we walk with Jesus, Jesus is still in the business of casting out demons. That's a bit of a crazy story, isn't it? He's sitting there in his right mind, and the people are afraid. Listen to what happens next. And those who had seen it described to them what had happened to the demon-possessed man and to the pigs. And they began to beg Jesus to depart from the region. Have you noticed there's been a lot of begging happening here? You notice that there was a man who comes running and falls at Jesus' feet, right? That's kind of a begging position, isn't it? He's begging Jesus for something. Maybe he's begging Jesus, heal me. We don't know. How did that demoniac get to Jesus? We don't know. Is Jesus irresistible? I think so. But then the demons start begging Jesus not to cast them out of the country. And then these people start begging Jesus, please leave our country. There's a lot of begging going on. But I've noticed something. Jesus doesn't beg, not once. Listen to what happens. They began to beg Jesus to depart from their region. And as he was getting in the boat, the man who had been possessed with demons begged that he might be with him. There's that begging word again. Today I want to ask you, are you begging Jesus to leave things status quo in your life? Jesus, just please don't make me have to make decisions that are going to really make things difficult. Don't affect my finances or my career. Jesus, I just beg you, please leave me where I am. Are you begging Jesus? Jesus, just leave me alone right now. I got involved with you and things went wrong. Could you just leave me alone for a minute? Jesus, I can't handle it anymore. You're too much for me. I love the way this man falls at Jesus' feet and begs him, hey, let me come with you, please. I just want to be where you are. I'm done with all this life of pursuing my own thing. I didn't want the shackles. I broke all those shackles. But I would give anything to be shackled to you, Jesus. Let me be your servant. Let me follow you. Let me go wherever you are. That's the good kind of begging. Interesting that Jesus doesn't let him do it. It says right here, Jesus did not permit him, but he said to him, go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how much he has had mercy on you. And he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and everyone marveled. You know, Mark's gospel tells us a few times when Jesus doesn't let anybody tell the story of what's happened in their life. Blind people get healed and doesn't let them speak. People who've been raised from the dead doesn't let anybody tell, you know, Jairus' daughter in the very next passage. Don't tell anybody what happened. Jesus is always kind of walking in the sort of secrecy thing, at least within Galilee he is, because every time he does a miracle, people come running in the hordes. He can't eat, he can't sleep, his disciples can't get any rest. And so he keeps telling everybody, shh, don't tell anybody what happened. interesting that this demoniac who wants to follow Jesus and be one of the 12, and Jesus says, yeah, you know what? It's actually better that you stay here. This is the only one Jesus tells. In the first 10 chapters of the book of Mark, the only one Jesus tells, go and tell the story. Isn't that something? You wonder why. I'd love to tell you why. I spent a lot of time trying to figure it out yesterday. Why did Jesus tell this guy? Maybe because he's a Gentile. We think he's a Gentile. He's from the region of the Decapolis, the 10 cities. It's a Gentile region on the other side of the lake. Maybe Jesus is saying, hey, in Judea and in Galilee, I don't need people to know who I am yet, but outside in the rest of the world, everybody can know. It's not going to be until Mark chapter 16 when Jesus essentially gives the command to everybody, go and tell the world. But here before the time, he tells this demoniac, go tell everybody. So in a way, he's kind of like the first evangelist amongst the Gentiles. Isn't that great? It's a great story. When I think about the kind of people that God chooses to tell his story, it shocks me. Jesus doesn't let the family of the little girl who died and came back to life, he doesn't let them tell the story. But that's a pretty amazing story, don't you think? That should be, I mean, he's a ruler of a synagogue. That's the passage I'm not going to be able to read to you because I'm out of time. But Jairus is a ruler in a synagogue. He's a prominent person. And him telling the story of what Jesus did for his daughter might just actually influence people in a big way. You think this is the kind of guy you want on your PR team, right? Well, we already found out, and I told you earlier, Jesus doesn't let the demons tell anybody who he is, so he doesn't let demons run his PR. But the man who's been delivered from demons. Here's what I want to tell you. The bottom line is, I think we need to beg Jesus. Mark chapter 5 is all about begging Jesus. From the demoniac to Jairus to the woman who's reaching out to touch his garment. They're all on their knees begging Jesus. I think there's something to that. There's something about faith that presses in when all things look impossible. There's a faith that's being demonstrated in these passages that Mark wants us to see. The disciples don't seem to have it, because in chapter 4, when the storm happens, Jesus says, do you not have any faith? Have you still got no faith? And then later, when the woman with the issue of blood is healed, he says, your faith has healed you. There's this idea that faith presses through in impossible situations. And I think that God wants us to express that kind of faith. I think he wants us, when we're facing these impossible situations, he wants us to fight them. And so today, for those of you who are looking at impossible situations or praying for people in impossible situations, Tammy, I know you, I'm just going to speak this to you, love. You need to beg Jesus. And read in these passages what begging Jesus looks like. It's something that we really understand. I think we're afraid of it. Does begging Jesus mean I don't believe he's going to listen to me with my quiet, simple prayer? I don't know. I think the desperation is something that is what's being demonstrated. Was listening to a preacher last night who was talking about these very things, and he said, you know, 100% of your prayers that you don't ask God will not be answered. I know the Lord knows what we're going to say before we say it, but he still knows we're going to say it. Do you know what I mean? So we still have to actually speak it. We have to speak the words. We have to get in his presence. We have to press through. We have to say, I'm not going to be intimidated by this crowd, or you know what? 10,000 demons aren't going to stop me from coming to the feet of Jesus. Jesus said to Jairus, do not fear, only believe. When they told him his daughter was dead and that he shouldn't bother the master anymore. Don't fear, only believe. That's, I think, the word for today. But I also want you to know that you should not be afraid to share the gospel with unlikely recipients. The people who seem to you to be beyond hope and beyond help. Because it may be that those are the very ambassadors for the gospel that God really wants to deliver and then send forth into the world. And let that challenge the way you see other people, including the people sitting around you in this church, the neighbors that sit next to you that you think may or may not be eligible to be the face of Living Hope Family Church or the face of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ on Cape Cod or whatever it might be. Listen, God uses unlikely people. What's the qualifier? The qualifier is this kind of begging faith. And so my challenge to you this morning as we close up here, because we've got to go, but my challenge to you is stop giving up so easily. Okay? Quit giving up. I want you to revisit some of those things you've given up. Could you do that this week? Could you maybe go back and have a look at some of those things you gave up on? Because they just seemed too hard. It seemed like, no, that's just not going to be it. That's not for me. Would you mind just going there, bring it before the Lord, and press into Jesus with it and say, okay, Jesus, there's some of these things which I was desperate about before, but Lord, it's time. For some of you, that's broken relationships that need to be repaired. And you're tired of trying, but you need to press in. We heard that last week. Charlie Curtis gave us that challenge last week. Got to press in. For some of you, it's believing God for healing. For some of you, it's God giving you a purpose. You're not supposed to just be sitting on the couch eating potato chips and watching TV. Can I tell you that? That's not your destiny. That's not where you're headed. That's not what God has for you. God's got something more for you. You're not just supposed to be in the basement playing video games. That's not what God has for you. God's got more. It's time to press in. For those of you who suffer with hopelessness, I want you to know there's no demon in hell that can stand when Jesus says, depart, be gone. It's time to get yourself to the feet of Jesus. It's time. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word. Your word is rich. It's alive. It's powerful, and we want to be wowed by it, Lord. We've heard these stories before, but, oh, Holy Spirit, would you make them come alive to us in a fresh and new way today? Oh, Abba, you are amazing. Your grace is amazing. Your faithfulness is fresh and new every morning. We heard that. We sang that this morning. Oh, Papa, please. Come by the power of your Holy Spirit and breathe life into this congregation right now. Those online, those seated right here. God, would you stir up in us this insatiable desire to be in your presence, to find ourselves where you are, to fall at your feet and to beg you, Jesus, I'm not going to leave until you touch my body. I'm not going to leave until you heal me, Lord. I'm not going to leave until you grant the request. I'm not going to leave until my child is delivered. Raised from the dead. I'm not going to live with this demonic anymore. This demonic influence in my life and my family. God, would you stir up our hearts through the power of your Holy Spirit to believe, to just believe, to not be afraid, but to believe. God, even when things seem impossible, even when the situation seems too far gone, even when they seem to be dead, you can raise them back. Thank you, Jesus. We ask for this grace, and we pray for the outpouring of your Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to close with just one little thought that I heard from Francis Chan last night on, was checking out Right Now Media. How many of you guys still enjoy a little Right Now Media once in a while? For those of you who don't know what that is, it's kind of like Netflix for Bible studies. You can binge watch all the Bible studies you want. And we make that available to you free of charge. We have a subscription, a church-wide subscription. And if you'd like to be a part of that, all I need is your email address, and I'll send you the link information. You can go and check it out. It's got all kinds of good stuff there. I was checking out Francis Chan on the Gospel of Mark, and he on these particular passages, and he pulled out this interesting word. When Jesus heals Jairus' daughter, I know we didn't get there in the reading today, but you're going to go home. You can read it. When he says to the little girl, arise, and she comes back to life right in front of him, there's this amazing subtlety in the language, in the original language, that the word Talitha, which means little girl, is actually, it's an affectionism. He's basically saying, sweetie, get up. This is the same Jesus who said, peace, be still, to the storm in chapter 4, who says to the demons, get out of him in Jesus' name. Well, he didn't say in Jesus' name, but... This is the same Jesus who says to the woman, go in peace, your faith has made you well. The same Jesus who speaks with such authority turns to this little girl who's lying there dead, and he says, sweetie, get up. And Francis Chan speaks about the intimacy and the power of that language. Here's Jesus who can calm a storm, but who treats us like special little kids. I want you to know, for each one of you, that's the Jesus I want you to go home and encounter today, the one that looks at you. Ladies, the ones that looks at you and says, hey, sweetie, come here. Let me put my arm around you. It's going to be okay. Fellas, the one who says, come here, my man. Come here. The guy who gives you a little fist bump, little noogie, affectionately, and says, get on over here. It's going to be okay. Go encounter that Jesus today.